Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wertel. Hope everybody had an amazing Lag BaOmer. We are working our way through, and we are at the last parsha, Sefer VaYikra, and that is Parshat Bechukotai. All right, or Bechukosai, some would say. Let's talk about it. So, there's some interesting blessings towards the beginning of the parsha, and one of them has this interesting pasuk, very interesting pasuk. It says, "Viratfu mikem chamisha mea umea mikem revava yirdefu menaflo oivechem lifnechem lechare." And from those amongst five of you shall pursue 100, and 100 of you shall pursue a myriad, which is generally understood as 10,000, and your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. The Torah is explaining that when the Jews are righteous, Hashem will fight their battles for them. We definitely have seen evidence of that. And even the exceedingly few shall be able to pursue and kill a disproportionate number of enemy combatants, seemingly outside of the laws of probability. The proportions, however, are not only interesting, but they're actually inconsistent, which is something Rashi is quick to point out. In fact, many commentaries try to grapple with the specific proportions that are given here. In the first instance, it says five will pursue 100, which is a 20-fold increase. But in the second instance, it says 100 will pursue a myriad, and we often understand myriad revava as 10,000. So that would be a 100-fold increase, right? 100 times as much. Now, the Gur Aryeh, among others, indicates that the word mikem is in fact superfluous, right, from amongst you, and therefore refers to the weakest amongst Bnei Yisrael. The victory will be so miraculous, and Hashem will be so dominant that even the weakest among Bnei Yisrael will be able to chase down a disproportionate number of enemies. Though, of course, it still doesn't deal with the fact that we have two different ratios. We'll get to that. Now, Chazal also contrasts this pasuk with a similar one in Parshat Hazinu. In Perek Lamed Bet, pasuk Bet of Hazinu, the Torah is referring to misfortunes that will take place to Bnei Israel when they do not act, but that their enemies will become haughty at their success. They will not realize that the only way that they could have prevailed upon the Jewish nation is if Hashem had allowed them to do so. Now, the pasuk states, "Echa yirdof echad elef, ushnayim yinasu revava, imlo kitzura michram, v'Hashem hiskiram." For how could one be able to pursue 1,000, or two chase a myriad, if it were not that their rock, meaning Hashem, had allowed it, that Hashem had delivered them into their hands? However, there's a stark difference between these psukim that the commentaries absolutely grapple with, that the disparate proportions are even larger in the second instance than our first. Right? Let's look at that, right? We said, we have one to pursue 1,000, right? So it's 1,000 and two to chase a myriad, which is 5,000, 2 to 10,000. So much bigger. The Or HaChaim, among others, notes that curses are typically weaker correspondingly than their counterpart blessing. And therefore, the numbers are embellished to some extent. Not like embellished isn't exaggerated, but it's just, we'll get to that. We'll explain in a second. The clearest example is their promise that although Hashem will punish up to four future generations for sins of ancestors, Hashem will nevertheless bless, in contrast to that, 1 to 2,000 generations for the merits of our ancestors. So we want to try and understand this. So normally Hashem puts the greater, we'll call it ratio, or the greater number on the positive, not the negative. But here we have the greater ratio of 2 to 10,000 or 1 to 1,000 with the negative, I mean with the klal. So why will be an even greater number be able to pursue us if we're not acting properly? So the Chazal explains that the miracle is in fact much greater by the blessing, because in that instance, it's the weakest of Bnei Israel that will be able to pursue the strongest of the enemy. Don't be fooled by the ratio. It's not a matter of 100 or 1,000 or 5,000, whatever. It's the fact that a small number of weak Yidden will be able to drive out the strongest, larger number of enemies. But the Pasuk in Hazinu is the opposite. The very strongest of the enemy will often be pursuing helpless and weak members of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the numbers are so inflated. But in reality, the proportions are somewhat equal, right? So in other words, if you have, I think of a good analogy, a small amount of something that generates a little bit of light and a large amount of something which generates a small amount of light, they'll kind of, it basically works out that the ratios roughly are according to each other if you look at who's weak and who's strong. So yes, Hashem allows it to happen on account of the sins of Klal Yisrael, or in the case of the positive, his the merits of Klal Yisrael. But you could even make the argument that the ratio is even less proportionally. In other words, if you have one incredible warrior and it's just they chasing 1,000 women and children or weak, starved, people, that's not the biggest nace in the world. But if you have one weak person pursuing 100 warriors, that's a much bigger nace. So Hashem goes out of his way even more so for the bracha and only manipulates things a little bit as far as the kala goes. He clearly, when the Jews are acting properly, Hashem gives much greater assistance so that even the very weak can overcome the very mighty. Now, there's a second explanation, which is given by the Bar Tanura, is that when the Jews are pursuing their enemies, the Torah notes that our enemies will fall by the sword, that they will be killed. Contrast to this, when our enemies pursue us, but the Torah only writes that they will pursue us and chase us, but not necessarily kill us. To only pursue requires much less effort than to pursue but also kill. So it's much easier for one to pursue and chase 1,000. It doesn't mean one will kill 1,000, as opposed to before, where we had the 50 or 100 or whatever ratio we had, where we actually be able to kill or vanquish our enemies. So it's completely different. So the proportions are not even really comparable. But in relation to the proportions given, there's still an issue to be addressed. So we don't really have such a big issue between the case of the blessing and the case of the curse. I mean, in the case of our Parsha and the case of Hazinu, we rectify that. There's different ways of explaining it. But how come in each instance, the two ratios are not the same within the instance? Meaning, within our Parsha, we had 5 to 100 and 100 to 10,000, which are two different ratios. And then, seemingly also in Hazinu, there are two different ratios. So either way, it increases the ratio. And in both cases, the ratio is increased 5 times more. In Parshat Hazinu, it says one will pursue 1,000, two will pursue 10,000, the fivefold difference. Initially, also fivefold difference. In both cases, it's the second instance of the Pasuk speaking. In both Hazinu and in Parshas Pukkotai, it increases fivefold. Now, the commentaries explain both instances, although in different ways. By our enemies, it's simply a matter of numbers. A pair of enemies is more than twice as strong as a single enemy. They can band together, they can collaborate, they can work together, they can trap, whatever it is. Generally, in warfare, the greater number of soldiers exponentially increases the odds. However, Chazal explained that by Jews chasing down their enemies, it is not their might, but rather their merit that is winning battle for them. And therefore, their merit is exponentially increased. The collective merit of Jews, especially those aiding and helping each other in wartime, which is something we can relate to now, fortunately, praying together for divine assistance, that also multiplies exponentially. So in the case of the curse, it's multiplying exponentially in terms of battle skills. In the case of the blessing of us being able to vanquish our enemies, our merits are multiplied exponentially as more and more Jews come together. And that highlights just the power of unity. Now, it's also interesting and intriguing that the increase in proportion in both interests is dafka fivefold. Now, the word for being armed in battle is chamush, which literally means of five. Most notably occurs in Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, where they're referred to chamushim, which means they are armed. The Chazal learns that they're actually only 1/5 of the Jewish nation actually merited to leave Egypt. Yet the term of chamushim is actually used again in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud-Dalet, where all of Klal Yisrael is together, preparing to fight the Canaanite nations and thereby inherit the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. There's a lot that is symbolized numerically by the number five. I keep putting up my hand about that. No coincidence there. It could represent a balance of physical and spiritual. It could also represent a type of collective unit, most commonly symbolized by hand, which is a yud and a dalet, which come together to form the letter hey, which represents five, part of a much longer topic. People can join together hand in hand. People can be enemies of God, banding together to pursue the weak, such as the enemies pursuing Jewish people, which we even see now by Hamas. Or people can band together in an amazing the Torah and kindness and unity, forming a bond that goes far beyond anything that can be physical and can lead to exponential blessing from the bestower of all good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and may we see more and more and more of that every day. Wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.